much to know that all along God had purposed that Gentile dogs, such as we are, were all the while purposed that we should be saved by the same Christ that by which the Jews are saved, those that are chosen of God. There's Israel, then there's Israel, the true Israel. But here in verse 3, he explains how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Paul's saying by his upbringing he would never have known this, but by revelation. And I'll tell you, that's the only way that any of us can ever know of God or of Christ or of salvation. It's not by education. It's by revelation. Whom God is pleased to reveal Christ in. In order for Christ to be the Savior, he had to endure the suffering and temptation as a man, and yet to the satisfaction of God the Father. None can save but God. And yet, for Christ to be that representative, it required him to become a man and to be tempted and to suffer in all things to satisfy God's law and justice. And having done that fully and righteously without sin, it still required that he shed his blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So if you want to understand just how vital this passage is with regard to Christ as being the representative of sinners that he came to save, I pray the Spirit of God would so teach us. Because he was brought, you think about him suffering, the just one, never having known or experienced sin, and yet bearing the sin of his people. I know that the cup that he was to bear was that of dying on the cross and suffering the wrath of God that sinners that he represents deserved. And yet, his temptation was from the womb all the way to the cross. And that even here in the garden, this cup that he was bearing, such was the distress on his soul. In Isaiah 53, it speaks that the travail of his soul. The word travail is that of a woman in labor that goes through great pains to deliver. And yet I'm thankful to say that there are no stillborns with the Lord. Every one that he suffered his soul to deliver shall be saved, has been saved. But it took his suffering. There is no true worship but through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that temple represented, where there were the priests, there were the sacrifices, and the altar. Now that's a picture of Christ here. And when it says, and praise thy name, what is that name that is above all names? Because you say, well, God has many names. Well, there is the name, thy name. For thy loving kindness and for thy truth, notice, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, you stop and think about that. What could be magnified above all his name? I will tell you that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. God the Father, his purpose that there be one name above all name. And when it says, thou hast magnified thy word, capital W-O-R-D. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh. This verse 2 is an exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from whom there is no true worship. I know people say, well, you're excluding a lot of people out there that's sincere. Yep, it's not me excluding. This is the word right here. Unless a sinner is brought to God and to worship him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he does not worship God. He is an idolater. I know that gets people upset, but may the Lord take that arrow and strike it into the heart, bring us love, and cause us to bow and see that at that name, name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord.